Good morning. Are you excited? I tell you, we've had a wonderful time around here. It's so been blessed. This brother here is handing out you need two things. You've got a little card here. You need one of those, and there's one piece of paper. If you do not have one, raise your hand real high. All right, fellas, got some in the back here, all the way back in the back. Piece of paper and a little card, a little index card there, okay? All right, got several hands here, okay? We'll help you. I don't know about you, but I tell you, it's been a blessing. Last night's prayer meeting was something else, I tell you. It's been wonderful, and I am so full, I don't even know how to contain myself, amen? And I mean, I've been told to clean up, shut up, get up. All is left for me is I'm fired up, amen? And I got up looking in the mirror and started preaching to myself this morning, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, friend. And y'all do that? Amen. And I've enjoyed this. I tell you, I even deleted a few things. Hey, y'all with me? I don't even have a computer. Amen. You fellas coming in, get you a card, get you a piece of paper. Raise your hand if you don't have one. They'll get one to you. All right, get you a card. What I want you to do this morning on this card right here before we start. Everybody with me? This morning our subject's on evangelism. Wow, what a subject. Amen. Before we get started, I'm going to read our text here in just a minute. I've got some notes, and I'm just going to pour out of my heart. I'll spit out the notes, but I'm just going to give you what's in my soul this morning. Amen? But what I want us to do, I want you to think about one lost sinner, somebody you know. Write their name on this card. I'm talking about somebody maybe in your church that you know, maybe a family member, might be a son or a daughter, a father or mother. Somebody you know. If you don't know somebody, that some name that you can write down, just write the word lost sinner on that card right there. Just write that down, okay? Let's find, just write one name. I wrote a name, somebody I'm praying for, and you got that name down? Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke 16, verse number. You know this passage of scripture real well. My name's David McNeil, by the way. I'm pastor of New Hope Baptist Church. I've been coming here quite a few years, and I have enjoyed it, and my soul has just been overflowing. I have, if I break out weeping, I'm all right. I'm all right. Evangelism. I'm thinking about this whole weekend, week, Thursday, Friday. I was thinking about it being a prayer closet. You with me? We're doing a lot of praying around this week. And thinking about that, when you enter into the prayer closet, I was thinking about how we enter into the prayer closet. You make your mind up. It affects your head, your mind. I've made my mind up to enter into the prayer closet. Amen? And then there's the not only entering, but the encounter in the prayer closet. When you get in, shut the door. That does something not to your head, does something to your heart. And I've had some close the door in the closet times with my Lord this week. How about you? Now this morning, we're not talking about entering into the closet, what I feel, or the encounter in our heart, but here we are today now fixing to exit from the closet. And I wonder today, as we think about it, my heart is just to challenge me, challenge us. What is our habits going to be leaving this, exiting this grounds and exiting the closet that we've been in so wonderful this weekend? That's where my heart is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm a big fat zero with the rims knocked out of it. Lord, I pray you'll touch these lips and help me to be a blessing to these precious men. Bless every church, pastor. Bless us in our traveling later on this afternoon. And Lord, help us to digest this word evangelism. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. If you know anything about your Bible, if you've been saved long, Luke 16 is not a parable. It's about a poor man that got rich real quick. And it's about a rich man that became a beggar real fast. You know the story. He lifted up his eyes. The Bible says there, he died, verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he's in torments. He passes away, burning in hell, right? I bring in a different text on the subject of evangelism. When you realize he couldn't do anything about it, I could just spend time all there. And he was begging for just one drop of water, trying to get out, trying to find some relief in this torment. After no avail and couldn't get out, as we know, he gives a request in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou sendest to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. How about that? We have somebody asking for an evangelist right here. What is evangelism? I'll have to go back and testify. I came out of Florida years ago, so burdened for revival as a pastor. I was pastoring a small church, and God began burdened for about 2 years. I still got that burden. I pulled my family around the family altar one night. My daughter, my youngest one, my son-in-law's here, married my daughter, Mike's here. I had to explain to my family, we're going into evangelism. We're stepping out. We're leaving. My five-year-old, my baby, she said, Daddy, what is evangelism? Simple. My son's here. Simply means preach the gospel. You look it up and just... Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Amen. Preach the word. We understand Ephesians 4:11. He gave apostles and prophets. Amen. He gave the church the gift of evangelists, that we might come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen. My son here, I want to say this. My son Lee's the one been doing a lot of this singing around here. Somebody asked me last night, did you train him? No, but his mother sure did. I took my family all over the country. Can I take a little side? I want to say something to my son publicly. Appreciate what you're doing. I love you. We have two girls and a boy. We never did want to put out a preacher when we went. And I didn't have one of those big RVs yet when we first started out, 40 foot long. I didn't have the faith to buy one of them things anyway. Anyway, we didn't want to put out a preacher, so we'd get Many of them would ask me if I wanted two rooms. We'd stay in motels. One night we'd sleep on a slab. It was hard as a brick. The next night, somewhere else, we'd sleep in a bed. Have you ever had a bed attack you when you get in it? I want to say to my son, we'd always take one room, five of us in one motel room, two girls. They got the bed. Mom and Daddy got the bed. He got the floor. I want to say to my son, all those miles and all those years with those four covers, that sleeping bag that you slept on that floor, I believe that's why God's blessing you now. I gotta hurry. I see two words in this text here. Write them down real quick. We'll go fast. Just let the Lord use us. I see two words that this rich man burning in hell says. The first one there is testify. You see that word? Testify means to protest earnestly. It means to change through by witness. Rich man's saying, somebody go protest earnestly. Tell my five brethren not to come to this place. The second word there, torment. You see it? Torment is the second one. Two words there, testify and torment. He says, go protest earnestly, lest they come to this place of torment. The word torment means torture. It carries the idea of going all the way to the bottom of blackness, darkness. We're hearing a man that's all the way in the bottom in darkness, and he's begging us, somebody go tell, somebody go protest earnestly, somebody go preach the gospel so they won't come to this place. Amen. I'll ask you these quotes here. Spurgeon, oh, to burn in our secret heart while we blaze before the eyes of others. This is the work of the Spirit, oh God. Work it in us, oh adorable comforter. Amen. Blaze it before our eyes of others. There is not a better evangelist in the world than the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody. Amen. How many of us would like to leave here, as we said, burning, burning, burning to see one more soul? Who you got on this card? Is it your loved one? If they died today, where would they spend eternity? Where would they be? Your child, mother, father, somebody sitting beside you in church. Where would they be? Oh, God. Let's challenge ourselves this morning, fellas. Number one, write the word burden. Three things of evangelism, the burden. Do you have a burden? Do you have a burden? You say, I have a burden. Well, look at that note, Habakkuk 1:1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. S-E-E is there. Put the word seeing right under that. Chaldeans, Babylonians, chapter 1, Habakkuk's coming their way. The prophet, God showed him who was coming. And the burden is like a load, a ton. It's a load on your back. It's something that you carry. And Habakkuk saw the Chaldean, the judgment of God was coming. He didn't understand it. That's the whole book of Habakkuk and everything. But we see here he saw it. It's like a million rattlesnakes coming right at you. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians. God was going to cast judgment. He saw. And it was a burden on him. You see that? Chapter 3, verse number 1, you see a prayer. You see that? You get to chapter 3, verse, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. He said, preacher, what's a burden? The word under there is the word feelings. It went from seeing the bird in chapter number 1 of the Habakkuk, and by the time you get over in chapter number 3, it becomes a prayer. He's feeling what God, and that's what he said in verse 2 there, revive thy work in the midst of years, Lord. Oh my, in other words, it got a hold of him. And what he didn't understand, God had to show him. He said, salvation's of the Lord, yet I'll rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. But he saw something. He felt something. What do you feel? What do you see? You see anybody lost without Christ? You see anybody hidden that place called hell? What did our Savior see? Three things Jesus saw and felt real quickly there. Mark 9:22, he saw number one, the helpless. Jesus walking along, he saw a father, and the father had a son. The son said, he said, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saw that. He saw the helpless. And you know what? Love came out of him and helped him. Amen? That's our Savior. You see anybody that's helpless? Matthew 20:29-34, there's the two blind men that cried out. The disciples said, hush, be quiet, don't say anything. And they cried out the more, have mercy on us. Yeah. We see number two, those that are hindered, the word hindered. Jesus saw those that were blind and hindered and couldn't help themselves. Guess what Jesus did? He felt that. He saw that. And he helped them. Amen. They went away seeing. Hallelujah. Number three, Luke 15:17, prodigal son was hungry. The father is seeing, he's looking, he's seeing, and all of a sudden he sees his son coming from the far country, amen. The prodigal son's coming home and the father sees him. He doesn't wait till he gets to him. The father runs to him, amen. Kisses on him, loves on him. My son who was lost, come home. He saw it. He felt it. You are going to have a burden. You're going to have to feel it. You're going to have to see it. J. Harold Smith was, I looked it up. He died at age 91 back in 2001. Died of a heart attack. 91 years of age preaching the gospel. 1941, he had three children. 1941, in those years when he was younger in his ministry, he was begging God for a burden, for more souls. Begging God that as he preached, he'd have a burdened heart for souls. He was begging God. Give me a burden, Lord. Show me a greater need for the lost of souls. Said one day he was home. His son, Sonny, five years old, playing in the garage. He heard some noise. So Brother J. Harrell went to check it out and walked in. The boys, a couple boys in the neighborhood, his son there playing with matches. Striking matches. Brother J. Harrell was coming up on it. It's the story I read. He saw his boy tripping those matches, and all of a sudden one of them lit, hit that gas can, exploded. They took him up to the hospital. 1941, had him all wrapped up. He'd go in. His five-year-old son laying in there. Nowadays, they wouldn't even let you go in there. But the story goes, he went in there and he got his son all wrapped up like a mummy. Second, severe third-degree burns. He goes in and his son just says, and he's hugging and he's real close to his son. And he got up real close and the son said, blow me, Daddy. Blow me, Daddy. Blow me, Daddy. J. Harold bent down to his 5-year-old boy. He said, "I blew and I blew and I blew and I tried to bring comfort to my son." They came and got him and ushered him out in the hall. He went out in the hall and he began thinking. He said, "I've got to go, Lord, I've got to go back in there and try to bring some comfort to my son." He said, I went back in there and he said, "I tried to blow and blow and blow and bring some relief to my son." Just a little bit time later, his little boy passed away, little Sonny. I read in a meeting that he had over 100 and some souls walk the aisle in one service and gloriously got saved. His ministry from that time on, instead of 2 and 3 and 4, dozens and hundreds were being saved. Do you have a burden? Oh, God. How about number 2 real quickly? Write it down real quickly. The second one is brokenness. The brokenness of evangelism. I got to hurry. Broken. Not only burdened, but broken. Isaiah 57:15. You see it there. You can look these verses up. I'll read it to you. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity." You know this. "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with them also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." To do what? To revive the hearts of the contrite one. You know what the Lord said? He likes being in company of those that have a broken and contrite heart. Crushed. Psalm 51:16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I'd give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. Amen. Have you ever been so burdened and broken for someone that you'd be willing to afflict your soul? You know what the Bible calls that? Fasting and praying. When's the last time you sacrificed? Simply means go without food. Just pray for one more soul. Our Savior, you see the notes, not only fasted, but he taught his disciples to fast. Y'all with me? Brokenness we see here is he is connected with wholehearted praying and weeping. You know this. Crushed, broken. Samuel Chadwick said this: "It's wonderful what God can do with a broken heart if he gets all the pieces." A.T. Pearson said, "A marble cutter with chisel and hammer was changing a stone into a statue. A preacher was looking on. He said, I wish I could deal such changing blows on stony hearts." And the workman answered, "Maybe you could if you worked like me on your knees." Daniel 9:3 says, "I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fastings and sackcloth and ashes." John R. Rice said, "Fasting means putting God first." Amen. He said, "Fasting is and prayer means to leave off the lesser blessings." What is that? Eating, sleeping. How many of you like to eat? I like it. I like to sleep. I hope to get someone after this meeting because I haven't got much. I stayed up all night Thursday night after that second touch. That thing messed me up. I'm still messed up. I hope I get back to sleeping. I love sleep. The lesser blessings, prayer and fasting. The lesser, eating, sleeping, enjoying the pleasures of a family life. Being around this crowd, everybody wants to go back and see their wives. Amen. You get around Dave Young. Amen. Sound like he needs to get home real fast. But you get rid of the lesser blessings. Those are all blessings of God. Amen. But he said fasting and praying is to do it for a greater blessing. And that is to seek the face of God. Amen. I got to hurry. Times of fasting. Right. Number one. When did they fast? Defeated. When they were defeated. Number one, Joshua 7:6. Israelites were defeated by the men of Ai. And God showed them their sin that hindered victory. Amen. You might have somebody's been defeated, and they that's a time of fasting and mourning and a time of weeping, of seeking the face of God. Number two, destruction. Destruction. Esther 4:3, verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews at present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night and day. I also and my maiden will fast likewise. So shall we go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. All the Jews had been summoned, and they were going to be annihilated in the book of Esther, right? And she just wanted to be able to get into the presence of the king, Esther being the queen. And she fasted 3 days and three nights, no water, no food, just to be able to stand in the presence of the king. Amen. When's the last time we got so desperate for somebody that's on their way to hell? Amen. That we're willing to give our all, just to get in the face of God for them. Jonah 3:4, Jonah preached 8 words, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what the king said? He said, neither let taste anything nor drink water, but do what? Do what? Cry mightily unto God. What was the result? Praise God, the whole town got saved. Came to God and repented. How about number three, times of fasting, direction. Acts 13:1-3, Paul and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, as they ministered unto the Lord, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, amen. You want to get some direction, amen. If you want to get some direction of how to pray and what to do and how to approach and how to give the gospel, just fast and pray, amen. I can say a whole lot on this. This book's out here on this table. I don't get no money or free funds or nothing. I don't even know Arthur Wallace, but I'm telling you, get this book. God's Chosen Fast. Gives you the preliminaries, gives you every kind of fast. It'll teach you the hows and whens and how. It's just a great book. Listen, I wouldn't recommend, if you're trying it, start out with, do not go 3 days and three nights without food and water. Don't start it that way. That's not the way to do it. Get this book and it'll show you how to do it. It's been a great help to me. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you today, we need to be broken. We need to be broken because it brings results. Real quickly, I can say a whole lot. I was trying to think of an example. Last week, I got a call from Tom Shrewsbury. My buddy, Tom, got saved in our church. Tom was a massive oak tree of a man. He's 325 on the small side. His arms were bigger than both my legs. And you know, like Otis up here, praise. I tell you, I believe Otis could hit you with the Bible and you become a believer. Amen. I'm on his side if the fight breaks out. Praise God. I'm telling you, we was praying, we was begging God, we was fasting and praying for a revival meeting. I met Tom. Just long story short, we couldn't get him in church, and finally he came. And we were so broken, we were so empty of ourselves, trying to get God on for revival. Here come Tom. Tom was a proud man. He's a filthy mouth man. Cussed every curse, and every third word was a cuss word. Wicked. We got him in church. We got him under the revival fire preaching. Evangelist preaching. Amen. A preacher preached on hell. Here come Tom. He was so broken and proud. He didn't want to cry in front of everybody. So I went back in my study. And when I shut the door, it was like God opened the floodgates of heaven in his soul. We got to get broken, fellas. We got to get broken. I got to go. Number three, begging. 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 You see, turn over to Luke chapter 11 real quick. Turn back to Luke 11, begging. You see, the devil doesn't mind you praying. Right. What he's disgusted with is our pleading and praying through till the answer comes. Right. Begging. We see here in Luke 11, Jesus gives us the language of prayer. We had that, some preachers hand out to us. We had it in a prayer meeting. He gives us what to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All this language of prayer. Lovely name. Adoring his name. That's how we come into prayer. Giving our petitions. Asking for pardon. All these things here. What? That's the language of prayer. He goes down through here and he says, and he gives us here the requirements we see of prayer. He says, he talks about this friend here, and I love this right here. He said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before me. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise on him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. Amen. Here's a friend. He's got a friend. Wants some bread. At midnight. Goes to his friend. Hey, Lee, I got a friend. He needs some bread. Lee said, go away. It's midnight. I got my kids in the bed. What's the matter with you? I got a friend. Who needs some bread? Let me say something right here. Delay of answer is not the end.
Right. Amen.
Brother Dave showed us last night praying. Amen. All those years praying for. And God miraculously opened the doors by which a witness could get to. And he got saved. You might not get an answer, but I'm telling you, we cannot give up this. What got him some bread was he was persistent and he was pushy and he wouldn't leave the door until he opened the door. Are y'all with me? He begged and 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 he kept on begging. The door finally came open and he got some bread. What did Jesus say here? Here's the requirements. I say unto you, ask and it shall be what? Seek and you shall what? Knock and it shall be what? Requirements. You've got to ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Amen? Ask, seek, and knock. But look down there. There's rewards if we obey the requirement. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Look down verse 13, because I got to go on. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give who? The Holy Spirit to them that ask it. I think we just found the evangelist. You know the language of prayer. And the requirements is to ask, seek, and knock. We're missing an ingredient. Jesus puts it together here. Asking for the Holy Ghost. What happened at Pentecost? Yeah. Cloven tongues as fire. Baptized by the promise of the Holy Ghost that Jesus said was coming. And on the day of Pentecost, it came. And the fire The fire of the Holy Ghost lit their tongues on fire. Are you with me? The miracle is a blessing that 3,000 of them got saved. Here's the miracle, that God touched their tongues and set them on fire. Every language and tongue heard the gospel, and they heard Jesus, and they knew about the wonderful works of God. Everybody thought they're drunk. Peter stood up and said, and lifted up his voice. What did he do? He preached the gospel. You want that loved one saved? Here's the way I put it together. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a beggar. Asking you for the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give me the Holy Ghost so much that you'd light a fire in my tongue. So that when I go to my loved one that's lost without Christ, they won't hear me. They'll hear him. My time is gone. I wanted to do something. Let's give you the outline. Two things of importunate prayer down at the bottom. Soul passion, soul pressing. Ian Bound says, he prays not at all who does not press his plea. Fire is the life of prayer, and heaven is reached by flaming importunity rising in an ascending scale. When's the last time you pressed God so much and prayed so much that God would not be turned away, that he heard your prayer and you begged God and begged God and begged God until he gave you the Holy Spirit of God? Beg God. Let's beg him. Number two, I got to just get it. Isn't it amazing God gives us conditions? That if we'll do our part, he'll do his part. That's all of grace. I'm amazed that God even put up with us. That God would even use something like us. Brother Foster, I'm amazed. Write down three words there. You can look them up later. Submission demands renouncing all. It's about prayer. Submission. Say it with me. If my people, which are called by my name, will do what? Humble himself. That's submission. And what? That's submission. And do what? Seek my faith. That's submission. And turn from their wicked way. That means if you're turning away, you're turning toward. That's you're submitting to him. Submission. Yeah. If. You see that? That's where I'm getting to. If we'll do our part of what Jesus. Then. The next word. Then. I'll hear from heaven. Heal your land. Amen. Forgive you. Then. How about number two? Sacrifice delivers reward. That's Isaiah 58. Whole chapter is about fasting. Number one and two there. Sacrifice delivers reward. In other words, is this not the fast that I have chosen? In other words, if you'll do the fasting, if you'll do the sacrificing, if you'll empty yourself and seek God, amen? He gives divine glory. Verse number eight. He says, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Amen. There'll be so much glory. If your God will show up, there'll be so much glory you can't contain it. Amen. God gives glory. Number two, God gives divine guidance. Amen. If we'll do our part, sacrifice. Sacrifice delivers reward. I'm telling you, try it. If God doesn't deliver it, I'll tell you, I'll quit. Amen. I'm telling you, he will. Number three. Settle, the word settle. Settle directly the Redeemer. 1 Kings 18, Elijah said, why halt ye between two opinions? The whole thing was about, well, y'all serving Baal, or we're going to serve the God Jehovah. You know the story. Repaired the altar. Made it impossible for man. Elijah put 12 gallons of water in the trenches and on the altar poured it. Made it an impossibility for man. Amen. He prays a prayer, said, God, let it be known that you're the God of Abraham, God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, amen, that I have done according to thy word. Hey, let them people know, let them know that you're the God. Hey, there ain't no other God like him, amen. And when he settled the fact that he is the self-existent, holy, righteous Jehovah God, then the fire fell. Amen. Burden of evangelism. Brokenness of evangelism. Begging. Hold your card up here. I wonder, I have a name here. There's a rich man in hell. Said, please, somebody go testify. He's looking for an evangelist. I hope that God will help us to be evangelists. Preach the word. You want that? I'll give you this testimony. We're going to pray over this. I grew up as a preacher's boy. My daddy's a pastor, 50 years. I lived about an hour. That's how I got in Virginia, down Pulaski County. We were in Pulaski County. He pastored way out in the woods, way out there. I went to school, Pulaski County High School. It was a county school at that time, 3A school, 2,000 students. Long story short, I graduated in 79. There was a guy ahead of me. He was the Michael Jordan of our school. He could play basketball. White men can jump, by the way. And he was my idol. He graduated ahead of me, and he scholarships all over the country and playing ball. His name is Mark Gray. He didn't play ball. He joined the Army. Praise God. He went in the service. He was gone about a year, and I was working my senior year. And in the work program, I worked at the local furniture factory there. Mark came back after boot camp and all that, came back and got a job there at the same furniture factory. He and I became friends. He was my idol, my basketball star of our school. So we began seeing each other. We saw each other frequently. He'd pass, he worked on the other side, he came. We got just through a friendship. Here I am, saved at age 6, been in church all my life. I was about 18, 19 at the time, and I was a full-fledged hypocrite. I was saved, but I wasn't right with God. Mark comes to me on a Friday afternoon. He says, Dave, some of my Army buddies coming in town. You want to go out tonight and dance with us? We're going down to Blacksburg. We're going over here and drink. Normally, to my wicked ungodliness, I would have slipped out of my preacher daddy's home and went all night with him. Thank God for the grace of God, I didn't do it that night. Mark Gray went drinking, Blacksburg party, goofing, wild. At that time, we had in the area a group of what they called Hell's Angels up here. Army boys ran into Hell's Angels that night. You can just imagine. You come out of Radford, you hit Route 11 back towards our high school, Pulaski County High. You come around a big old curve. There's about 7 oak trees about that big around. Hell's Angels chasing 5. Mark Gray was one of them in the little car. They literally went through one of those oak trees, 100 miles an hour. Body parts all over the road. They had to pick Mark up and put him in a bag. I went to the funeral. Whole high school was there. I was sitting over there with my brothers, my boys, sitting on the back wall here. And the Holy Ghost got right there. Said, you just saw him Friday. Why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you tell him the wonderful story that Jesus saves? That he loves you. Sometimes I preach. I can hear Mark. Tell him, David. Tell him. Tell him, David. Tell him. I tell you, I think about it. Can't do anything about it. But I got somebody on my card today. I want you to turn around. Get on your knees if you would. And you put that card before God. And let's cry out to him right quick. Just take a minute. Pray for these men that have sons and mothers and grandmothers. And let's be dismissed here by praying. If you need the Holy Spirit of God, ask him. So that you will be broken and burdened. Begging. Pour it out to him.